So if the sermon's really bad this morning, you can blame a concussion. I don't know. I don't know. Does that work?
Sure.
Is he wobbly on his feet? I'm not sure. Well, I don't know how many of you guys know this, and I'm not going to be offended if you don't, but it's my birthday this week. I'm going to be turning the perfect age, 33. Jesus' age, thank you. There you go. The perfect age. Thank you. There you go. That's not why I said it. I'm just saying, in the sense of when it comes down to this, it makes me think of Jesus more. And I love that. I love preaching about Jesus. It's really awesome to. This is the first church I've been involved in that have preached through Revelation this thoroughly, and even Acts and things like that before. And it's been really, really refreshing to get different takes on that. But I just love to get back to Jesus. I love to get back to what he did on earth, what he did here, what he did to humans just like me and you. You know, and that's kind of where I'm at today. It was kind of one of those, do I just jump into a completely random book? Do I do a random teaching? Or I just need a little bit more Jesus. I'm going to go for that. So we're going to go through Mark chapter 1, 40 to 45 today. You know this is called the Jesus cleanses a leper, but it's really good that we understand why the first line says, and there. So something's already happened to cause a reaction, right? Jesus' ministry has already started across Galilee. He's already started picking up disciples, choosing some people to follow him, and he started healing many people, casting out demons left, right, and center. He's teaching in synagogues, and he's coming off this huge high, and then a man comes out beseeching him. So there's a reaction to this ministry that is flourishing. It's coming alive. There's people being healed left, right, and center, demons being told to be quiet, leave, get out. And Jesus is in command. And then this man comes out. So I just wanted to kind of give a little context, very brief context, before diving into this. But today it's going to be called the Untouchables because of leprosy, because of that. But there is a group in the world now that is actually still called that. I don't know if you guys know, there's a group of people in India called the Dalit people, D-A-L-I-T. You can Google it. You can YouTube it. There's lots of incredibly sad interviews of these people who are being oppressed just because they're seen as the lowest form of people in society. Bless you. But they are the lowest people. They have the lowest social status in India. They're looked on as poor, as stinky, as disgusting, as people you don't want to go near. They are the Untouchables. In the past, they were believed to be so impure that people even thought that their presence in a room was polluting. Even you breathing the same air as me is polluting the air around me. Their impure status was forced by their circumstance, where they were born. Where they were born, where they were born, and when they were born. So into poverty and who their family was. That wasn't the baby's fault, but that's just the way it was. You were born into that family, you were low, the lowest of the low. So their work in the world now, still, the majority of Dalit people, men and women, work in sanitation. They clean up the streets. They unclog toilets. They do all the dirty work. They're the lowest of the low. They can't drink from the same water fountains. They can't go into the same temples. They can't go and live in the same cities. There's cities outside of our communities just for these people. We need you to do our work, but you're not allowed to be near us. You're not allowed to come near me. I can't touch you. I can't be near you. Segregation, different areas, different living circumstances. It still happens this day, which is crazy. So, they are untouchable. You're not allowed to touch them. To touch them would then mean that you have to go for all these ceremonial cleansing to go back into the temple, to go back into worship again. If you touch someone like that and you hung around a little bit too long, you would start getting considered that as well. Kind of rubbing off how people see that. And in the societies where the Dalit people live, there's typically four different tiers of people, hierarchy even. You have the priests and the teachers who are teaching everyone and trying to get them to live a certain way. And then you have the rulers of the communities, the mayors and people like that who are just underneath that. And then underneath that, you have the traders and the merchants that keep people living, bringing in food, running the markets and everything like that. Then you have the laborers who build everything. Then you have them. So they are still considered the lowest of the low in that situation as well. So today we're going to be looking at lepers in the same light, that they were people who were untouchable. They were people who were discarded as soon as they had a blemish on their skin. Go away. Don't want you near me. Can't have you near me. Leprosy is a kind of scary disease because it starts off slow and very small and it spreads very fast and it can kill very easily. And back in those days, in the time of Jesus, there was no real way, bar a miracle really, that this was going to change. So the reason why I'm telling you about these people, one, do some research as well. Check out the Dalit people in India. You can, as I said, YouTube, go on to Google, type it in there. There'll be tons and tons of different articles about them and about the oppression. Pray for them. Pray for them. Jesus loves them as well, right? And that's the thing. It's kind of one of those, we see that in this verse, in this passage of scripture, that Jesus doesn't care about your tier. He doesn't care about if you're the lowest of the low, the highest person in all charge of the whole kingdom. He still wants you to know him, to know love, to know freedom. So that's where we're at today. I'm going to pray just to calm my nerves, and then we're going to dive into the scripture, okay? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that's happened so far. God, thank you for bringing this family of people together. God, thank you for your love for us. God, thank you that we have an opportunity to learn more about you now. God, I pray that my words get out of the way and your words stick. That your message comes through true and mine is forgotten. God, I pray this will just glorify your name. Help us all to be able to leave changed today. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay. So, we've got verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So, if thou wilt. Yeah, I love that. So, leper, the Greek word here, lepros, identifies a person affected by a skin disease. Okay, the book of Leviticus, we've got that scripture as kind of a guidance there. We're not going to read through the whole of that because it's like six verses, and that's a long time. So, but there is a real rules and an outline of what to do with people with leprosy. It's already written in the Bible. It's already there, so they're using it, which is good. Good for them for using the truth, right? You know, the good word. But it categorizes such individuals as unclean and prohibits them from coming into contact with other Israelites during their illness. Because there's a hope, you see. There's a hope that there's a part after the illness, but they're just not sure. So what they have to do is they have to put this stuff in place to see if there is an after the illness or if you're going to die. Okay. So that is Leviticus 13:1-46. So I think that's written in your bulletins. Again, we're not going to read the whole thing, but I've got a very brief overview for you. So basically, the leper in whom the plague is in, his clothes shall be rent, and the hair of his head shall go loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Wherever he is walking, he is going to be noticed. They are going to be noticed because their clothes are going to be different. Their hair is going to be messy. It's all going to be all over the place. He's going to have to shout, unclean, unclean, watch out, I am coming. That's really sad. To start this whole thing off, that's just really sad. And all the days where the plague is in him, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without his camp, the camp shall his dwelling be. You're going to be isolated. You're not allowed to come near people. As you're walking around, you've got to shout, unclean, unclean, and give people warning if you're on your way towards them. And that's a really sad thing, but you've got to understand, back then, they didn't have showers. They didn't have medication systems. They didn't have hospitals and surgeons. They didn't have ways to solve this problem. So things spread fast. There's a reason for it. It sounds horrible to us now because we're like, oh, go get a shower. Go wash it off. Go to a doctor. I'm sure there's a cream for that, right? But back then, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. So there's a reason for isolation. There's a reason to be set apart. There's a reason for these things. It just doesn't sit right with us sometimes because you're like, you shouldn't treat people that way. But there's a reason, okay? So we can read through the scripture in Leviticus and see that there are strict guidelines to what priests were to do, to kind of show them what to do when they were diagnosing a skin disease. The person infected has to stand in front of a priest for inspection. They were looking for burns, boils, lumps, any lesions. Basically, it's humiliation. You have to show them everything. You have to spin around. You have to get second people to come in and say, is this what I think? No, okay. But it's humiliating. The priest would typically quarantine the person 7 to 14 days. Already been there, man. And then inspect again right at the end. Okay? And if it wasn't there yet, we'd do this again. We'd do this dance again. Hey, spin around for me. Nope, still see it. Get back in that house on your own. Get out into the wilderness on your own. Go live on your own. You're not allowed to be near people. To be declared clean, the marks would have had to have not spread. That's your first step. No spread. And to have been visibly healed or healing. Okay? And then you get quarantined for another week after that, at least 7 days after that, to make sure it's gone. If it had gotten worse, the person would have been pronounced completely unclean. Lost cause. This is the way it is now, I'm sorry. This is the way you're going to live the rest of your life. Avoiding impurity or cleanliness was essential for the priests for maintaining holiness. I can't have you spreading this around. Okay? And there's a sad comparison to be seen here because of that, because leprosy is like sin. Okay? Holiness, our holiness is affected by sin. Our closeness to God is affected by sin. Okay? What the thing is that pulls us apart from the love of Jesus Christ is not Jamie himself, but it's the sin nature inside of me that pulls me away from him. Okay? But leprosy is like a sin. It starts off as nothing, something small, a slight little blemish. I don't know, maybe I'll just take that chocolate bar. We'll see what happens. A little action that you don't think means much, you know? It is painless in the first stages, just like leprosy is in the first stages. It's just a bump. It doesn't really affect much. But after a while, it takes over. It grows slowly and slowly, sometimes fast. Who knows? Depending on your nature, it could take over real fast. There's some people have been said that in the first week of having leprosy, they had one bump. And they fast forward a week after that, they would be completely covered. And others, it would take years. But you think about how it controls. It is like sin. The need grows, the sin grows. Slowly but surely, it takes over. Sometimes it goes away, the urge to do something wrong, but it's still there. It's still there on your skin, visibly there, the leprosy on your shoulder, whatever it is, that is still there, like an addiction that kind of needs to be filled. Eventually it numbs the sense, and people don't really feel the afflicted area anymore. They feel the pains in the ends of the nerves with leprosy. They feel the pains of the ends of the limbs that are going to eventually start falling off. Just like sin. You steal once, you steal twice, you steal five times. It all feels the same. Kind of numb to it now. It's kind of easy. I don't know. It causes decay. It causes decay and deformity in our lives. Everything that we do wrong changes the image that God had made us in. Right? Every sin that I've done in my life has corrupted the thing that God made me to be. It's changed the way I am because I'm allowing that sin into my heart and into my life. I need Jesus to cleanse me from that. We need Jesus to cleanse us from that. So, there's this phrase here that I love. If thou wilt. The leper's come up, and chances are he's been begging, or he's been walking around outside these synagogues. We know that Jesus has just been at the end of 39 here. It says, and he preached into the synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons, and there came. So he's just come from the synagogues. He's just finished casting out demons, and this leper has come up to him thinking, you're doing all this stuff. Hey, I'm right here as well. I'm right here as well. I love that. Because what it tells me is this unclean man that is not allowed to come near people, the person who's been disconnected from society, still sees there's something wrong with me and I need someone to help. And I've seen what you're doing and it's good works and I need you to help me. If thou wilt. What confidence and what faith from this man. I've heard the tales. I've heard the things that you've done, Jesus. Heard about the testimonies and the people saying this happened and that happened and there's healing and there's demons. I heard what happened and I want that healing too. I want it too. So I'm coming up to you crying out saying, please heal me. If thou wilt, heal me too. Heal me. We can read in Mark 1, 21 to 28 that Jesus has incredible power to eliminate uncleanliness. As he expelled the demonic spirit from the man. But we're here, we have a different person stepping out with a different type of dirtiness, right? A different impurity who is seeking cleansing, whole cleansing, cleaning from the head to the toe, complete cleaning. And Jesus' success confirms that God's rule smashes through, overcomes all obstacles of health, and brings him back to the way he should be. And that's what Jesus does for us. Every time we ask to be cleansed and we put our faith in him to do what he does best, we will be cleansed head to toe. Leprosy wasn't just a life-destroying, body-destroying disease. Back in those times, it was a soul-crushing disease too. Leprosy begins, as I said, small bumps, spots on the skin. After a while, it gets bigger. The spots get bigger and start to turn white. They get kind of a scaled or shiny appearance on them. Kind of look like scars, but they're raised. The spots soon spread all over the body. Hair begins to fall out. First from the head, then even the eyebrows. And as things get worse, fingernails, toenails, they all start eventually rotting and falling off. It is not pleasant. The joints of fingers and toes begin to rot, fall off piece by piece. Gums begin to shrink. Teeth fall out. Your body is dying. Just dying, dying, dying. But what does that do to your soul? What does that do to your spirit? What does that do? Knowing that you're on your own through that process as well. Knowing that you've been cast out for that whole time. As horrible as the physical suffering was, the worst part of having leprosy might have even been the way that people treated the person who was already in pain. I'm already suffering. You don't need to beat me down anymore. In the Old Testament, God said that when there were lepers among the people of Israel, they should be carefully quarantined and examined. We already said this in Leviticus. Lepers had to dress like people who were mourning for the dead because they were considered the walking dead. You're just a walking dead person. You're going to be gone soon. They had to warn the people around them, as I've already said, unclean, unclean. And this was not because, Just thinking about the effect there. Just thinking about that. You're a person and you know you've got something wrong with you. Nowadays, what does that look like? That would be like, if I've sinned, I have sin in my heart. I know that. I know that I'm not perfect. I know I've done wrong. So does that mean I need to walk around saying unclean, unclean? Or can I have hope in Jesus Christ? Let's do it. It's a sadness inside in my heart and in my mind whilst I'm reading this and I'm preaching this now, because I just think, man, if these people knew Jesus, if they knew what he could do. Yeah. The people of Jesus' day went further than the Old Testament told them to. Back then, they thought two things about a leper. Sometimes they'd think, you're the walking dead, you're like a zombie, you're going to die soon anyway, I don't want anything to do with you. But then the second was, you clearly deserve this because you've done something wrong to God. So as I said, it's not just life-destroying because your life has to stop. You can't be around your family anymore. You can't be around your friends. You don't get to see life as it was before. You don't get to be in your family home. You don't get to have dinners together and food together and time together. You are on your own. It's not just body destroying because your body's literally being destroyed. It's soul destroying as well. Because someone's then saying to you, you must have done something wrong to get to this point. I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of things wrong in my life. And I've had one person say to me, well, you just deserved it before. We're not friends anymore. If you say that to me and you say there's something wrong in my life, I have this problem. Well, you probably deserved it because you did something wrong. That's pretty destroying right there. That's pretty destroying of my soul. The judgment and just the looking down and casting down on people there. Jewish custom said that you should not even greet a leper, let alone get near them. You had to stay 6 feet apart from a leper. Those are things that have happened nowadays. This can, I think that someone's been reading the Bible, and it's good. But it's, but this disease wasn't just a body disease. It was all-encompassing. It was all-surrounding. It was all-crushing from all angles. But the response from Jesus is the most incredible thing. This is the bit I love. So we're going to get jumped to Mark 1:41 here. And Jesus moved with compassion. Of course he is. Of course he is. Put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Yeah. So Jesus moved with compassion. This again, I've already said it. This was against the culture. I've just told you what the culture said. I've just told you what the time said. You treat them this way. And Jesus is like, no, I'm going to treat him with compassion instead. You're here, I'm here. This is how different we are. This is the way the world should be. You're going to say this, I'm going to do this. People would know that lepers were coming saying, unclean, unclean, and Jesus is moved with compassion to come up to him, put forth his hand and touch him. I don't know about you, but I'm often moved with compassion when I meet sick people, when I go to hospitals or anything like that. I get a real sadness inside my heart, and I'm like, I don't know what I can do for you. I wish I could do something. And there's a compassion, and then there's like the responsibility clicked in my head, like I've got to be able to do something. Something's got to change here. Maybe we can talk to a different doctor. And it's like, no, I can't. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a surgeon. I can't do much here. But Jesus is still moved with compassion for this person. He can do everything. But I love the fact that he has compassion. It's not just a, sure, boom, right? It's a, I feel for you. I'm sad for you. I'm sad for what's been going on in your life. There's a love. It's not just a snap decision to heal. It's a, there's feeling there as well. Lepers didn't usually get compassion. That's the point here, okay? Their appearance was repulsive, and people would have really treated them with disgust instead of compassion. I spent about almost a year in Africa when I was about 15, and there was a village of people who were the old people. An old people village were all over this way, and only certain people were allowed to go into that village because if they didn't know who you were, you could be bringing anything into that village, and the old people were really susceptible to different diseases, to sicknesses and stuff like that. And even a cold could knock them out. And I can remember that. And I used to think, man, that's got to be a really tough life. But there was a group of them at least. And I think in this situation, this leper didn't have anyone. This leper didn't have anyone looking after them. It was running solo the whole time. That's just sadness to me. We can also read about this account in Luke 5:12. And in that account, it says, we can read that the disease was in the advanced stages. A man full of leprosy. Full. Like a jug full. This man's whole life, body, and soul was being destroyed. There wasn't really any turning point now. Yet Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus' physical contact with the leper, followed with his immediate cleansing, showed Jesus' authority over this disease. This isn't the way it's going to be. Boom. And I love that. Immediately. Don't blink. You'll miss it, right? And in that touch, Jesus broke the barriers of the law. You're not allowed to touch lepers. But he also broke through the barriers of legalism. Okay, this is the difference. You're not touching this leper because you're scared. I'm going to touch him because he needs to know he's valued, that he's loved, that he's worth something, that all this, you know, just brokenness is not meant to be this way. He deserves this just as much as anyone else. Jesus saw a broken, beaten, outcast man who wanted to be cleansed, who wanted to be back to normal again. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Now we must remember Jesus healed many people in many different ways. Okay? He could have done something completely different here. As I said, he could have, and it had been done. Right? I don't know if Jesus snapped his fingers, but the whole point is, whatever way he did it, you know, he said it sometimes. By your faith, she is healed. Oh, look at that. The servant was healed. Mud in the eyes, we remember that. Right? A touching of someone touching his robe, right? He didn't even have to do anything there. It was the faith of the woman reaching out and touching the robe. People got healed in many different ways by Jesus, but the fact that he chose to touch this leper is a huge thing. He could have spoken a word or even just thought it, you know? And the man would have been healed, but Jesus uses a touch. And this goes back to the law. People were forbidden to touch lepers. And we know from Luke that he was in his advanced stages, as I said, 5:12, it says he was full of leprosy. There was no turning back here. But it was most likely a long time since he felt a human touch. A firm handshake, a hug, whatever it is. I don't know about you, but it was tough when we were going through the height of COVID and everyone's, I wish I could give you a handshake. I wish someone kicking toes and stuff, like, just want some connection. Like, that sucked. Because it was like, I just want to give you a firm handshake. I want to give you a hug. You're going through loss. I just want to hug you. But I can't. Imagine that for your life. So Jesus doesn't just heal him. He gives him the thing that he's wanting the whole time, human connection as well. He tells him with that touch that he's valuable, that he is loved, that he may be rejected in society, but with Jesus, completely accepted. All with one touch. And now you may think, oh, but you just said Jesus broke the law. No, I didn't say that. I said he went and kind of broke through the law, okay? Because what happened was when Jesus, as soon as he touched the leper, no longer was the man a leper. That's right. So he wasn't touching a leper. He was touching a clean man. Yeah. People would have seen that and thought, oh, he's breaking the law. He's touching a leper. Throw him in jail. No, the guy's clean. Check him over. We read later on in a couple of verses. He says, go back to the priests. Go get him to check you out because you are clean. I didn't break no law. Right? And I love that. Just Jesus' way of doing stuff. Yeah. He was immediately healed. Jesus was not touching a leper. He was touching a healed man. Yeah. Healed by the grace of God. Given life again after a death sentence. And that is what Jesus is all about. So, Jesus is not held by the law. I'm thankful for that. I really am. I should have clicked that earlier. I'm sorry. And then we've got, be thou clean. So Jesus says, I will be thou clean. Jesus Christ was made sin for us, right? We know that. Although he knew no sin himself, we are made righteous through him, okay? We know that. We can say amen to that. We can say yes to that because that's just the truth, okay? And just like this leper, I pray. This has been my prayer for this whole time I've been reading this and studying through this and writing this sermon here. I pray that we all approach Jesus believing in the power of him, of God. That he can do these things, that he can break those barriers, that he can come through and he can heal those most hurting places, that most disgusting sin that's in our lives. He can take that and say, it's gone. You're a clean man. I'm not touching a leper. I'm touching a healed person, a clean person. And I think that's the whole point here. Be thou clean. Believe it. Believe it. That we would all feel his gentle, gracious touch as he reaches out and says, I will be clean. Be thou clean. Not by our strength, no, not by our might, but through Jesus' death on the cross, by Jesus taking our sin, our leprosy, our diseases onto his shoulders and cleansing us. Be thou clean. Jesus speaks, and it is done. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Love it. As soon as he spoke, wasn't like 10 minutes later, like, I'll come back and check on you. Maybe that medicine is kind of taking effect. How's your headache? Take some tablets. I'll come back and see how you're doing later. No, it's like, boom, I've said it, it's done. And you're like, yes, yes, Jesus. Makes me excited. So Jesus speaks and it is done. Just as God spoke this world into existence, it is done. Let there be light. And what happens? Light. Not 10 minutes later. You know, you get it. Look at what I'm saying. Yeah. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are saved from our sins. A complete cleansing and forgiveness of sins according to the rich grace of Christ Jesus. Nothing else through his rich grace instead. That's it. And he promised it, and he said it, and he did it, and it is done. Just in the same manner as this. Be clean, be healed, be cleansed. It's done. And I'm so thankful for that. Because this leper, you can look at this account here and be like, that leper is kind of like us. It's kind of like me and you coming to Jesus saying, I have this problem in my life. I have this problem in my heart and I need to be cleansed. Well, I've got some incredible news for you. Matthew 11:5 says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Yeah, amen. I'm pretty sure that covers everyone, okay? Because not even if you're just blind, completely blind in your eyes, but if you're blinded to God, well, you will receive sight one way or the other. And you will get a chance to see God one way or the other, and it's up to you to choose him or not. The same with the deaf, the same with the lepers, the same with the spiritually dead inside. There will be a time where you get to see Jesus. I pray it's before he comes back. Yeah. And the good news will be preached to the poor. If that's not good news, then I don't know what is. I'm thankful that it covers pretty much every facet of people here. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I love that. I love that. We will be washed, not just a little wash, not like my 6-year-old's bath time wash where you still got grub and mud everywhere and you're like, you didn't even bathe, come on. You'll be washed white as snow. And that's incredible to think about. But only by one way, totally cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's it. Not by anything that we can do, but all through Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 to 9 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. The faith of the leper as he went up to Jesus and planted his face on the ground and begged him, that faithful heart cry, please clean me, please. Beseeching Jesus, calling after him. Desperation. That's what true desperation looks like, but for the right reasons. He knew that Jesus could do something, so he went for it. And I don't know about you, but when I've been desperate, if I haven't fallen down on my face and cried out from my heart, nothing really happens. Nothing really changes because I can't be that desperate. I can't be that desperate to not humble myself and lower myself before God. This leper on the floor crying out, please. That's kind of a cry that I want to have in my heart, in my life, for the rest of my life. I don't ever get too comfortable to lower myself before Jesus and say, please help me. The leprosy was gone. This disease that had no cure was suddenly gone. By this man's faith, he approached Jesus. By this man's faith, he dropped to his knees and he pleaded. By his faith, he asked Jesus. But by the grace of God, he was healed, cleansed, and the leprosy was gone. John 8:36 said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Nothing holding on. Nothing left there. No doubt. You are not just free, you are free indeed. Complete freedom. If the Son of God has set you free, free from your sin, free from your disease, you are free indeed. So he was cleansed. Done. Again, as I said before, Jesus says it and it is done. Jesus says it and it happens. So I just say, have faith that Jesus, if Jesus has said it will happen, it will happen. Have faith in that. Have faith in that. Because the great thing about the Bible, and I love saying this to the teenagers as well, but prophecy after prophecy after prophecy coming true of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, my God, my Jesus does not break promises. He does not break promises. He is not a liar. He is not a deceiver. He is the truth. And he does not break promises. I need to remember that. I go through times where I'm like, I'm not too sure what's going on anymore. I know that God is good. And I know that he does not break promises. I am confident in Christ. Sometimes I'm not so confident in my own faith and my understanding of that. But I am confident in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and his soon-to-be return. And that's the reason why I can turn to you and say that God does not break promises. He will return. We can have faith in all these things that he is saying and what he will do. Just like this leper had faith as well. Mark 1:43, and he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. So Jesus charged him. A direct order from Jesus Christ, the rabbi that had just healed you, an order that carried weight that the man with leprosy probably wasn't that aware of. Didn't know what was following, right? If I only knew, I might not have done that thing instead. Too late. Already did it, right? But still, what are you doing that God hasn't specifically asked you to do? Because Jesus says to him, don't go out and start spreading off what's going on here. Sometimes I'm guilty of this, where I go out and I'm like, I need to do this thing. And you're like, well, did God ask you to do that thing? And I'm like, no, but it sounds like something he would say to me to do, so I should probably do it, right? And you're like, no, well, hold on a second. If he's not asking you to specifically do this thing, then don't do it. All right, hands up, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But it's kind of funny to think that. This leper has just been completely healed. Jesus has asked him to do something, and he goes out and he does the complete opposite thing. And then Jesus sent him away. And forthwith Jesus sent him away. This is typical of what Jesus would do. There was a teaching, maybe a miracle, and Jesus would say to the crowd, to the people, to the person, to whoever, do not tell anyone of this and go on your way. Mark 3:12, Mark 5:43, Mark 7:36, Matthew 9:30, and Luke 8:56 are just five examples of Jesus doing that exact thing. This isn't a strange occurrence, okay? I'm not expecting you to write all that down, don't worry. But there is evidence of him doing this before, okay? And we can read for context purposes that on a single day in Capernaum, Jesus freed a demon-possessed man, healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. People flocked towards Jesus and the disciples so much that they needed to leave to a different town. And Jesus' primary mission is to teach the good news, not perform miracles. Yet the crowd of people just want to see miracles. They just want to see stuff happen, man. Come on. He wants to teach in synagogues. He wants to go to places of teaching to get this good news out. But it's impossible with the crowds of people following. And this is really easy for me to turn around and say, come on, man, how did you make a mistake like that? Jesus asked you to not do it, and you just went and do it. It's really easy because I've got the Bible in front of me so I can read what happens next. He didn't know that, right? But the whole point of this is our actions, how we follow things through, change things, have consequences, have different kind of outcomes. And if Jesus is leading you one way, don't push against it, okay? You can go the other way, even if it did sound like something he might have said sometime. Yeah. So, not very good English, but it works. Okay, so, verse 44, and saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Go to the priest. Jesus is simply saying to the man, go, stick to the law, right? You've been cleaned. This is the next step. We're going to go through this process. We're going to do this together. We're going to walk through this. This is what you need to do. You've now been cleaned. You asked for cleaning. You've been cleaned. Now the next thing is, go get assessed. Go and show them that you're clean so you can come back into society. So you can be part of this world again. Do what the law is asking and do what is needed to have that accomplished so that you can be brought back into society correctly, okay? Go do what the law has required of you. And you see, if the man with leprosy had presented himself to the priests and explained what had happened, how different could this be? Maybe those priests were like, whoa, this guy's legit. Maybe we shouldn't try and kill Jesus. Maybe we shouldn't try and do this stuff. Maybe we shouldn't try and rebel against him. Maybe there shouldn't be this type of uproar that's following Jesus now. The priest might have been able to see Jesus as someone who was not trying to destroy them, but in fact, Jesus was the man that the priest should be looking to for this stuff. And that testimony of healing and doing it the right way could have worked a way through that. But the man with leprosy fell into the same temptation that we do sometimes. He valued the physical healing, the miracle, more than the message. Right? The big thing instead of the actual foundation that it's built upon. He valued the physical healing and the social acceptance and blessing more than the spiritual. And with his publishing to the masses, he drew attention from Jesus' teaching and more unto Jesus' miracles. To do as the law says. So Jesus taught in synagogues. We can read that in Mark 1:21. He taught in the temples in Matthew 21:23. He quoted Hebrew scripture in Matthew 4:7. He observed Jewish feasts in Matthew 26:17. Jesus did not do all these things against the law. He was trying to go with this, but give it the good news on top of it. See, the problem was what they were teaching them was, hey, guys, we're giving you the great message. Now give us your money. Whereas Jesus is then saying, actually, hold on. I'm going to give you the good message and even more, keep your money. And that's the difference. And that's why they're upset with him. That's because they were taking attention away from these priests, these royal people, the Jewish leaders, and they weren't happy about it. You're taking attention away from us. You're stopping us from having our status, our power, our figure. But I don't think Jesus was doing that to intentionally destroy them or disrupt them in that way. I think he was trying to get there so that he could reach them. I think his intention was to reach the Jewish leaders as well as these people around him. Someone needs to reach the people at the top. That's kind of where I see this. If it isn't you, then it's someone else. But I feel like Jesus is saying that here. Someone's going to reach the people who are needy at the bottom. And some people need to go up to those teachers and tell them the truth as well. Someone needs to teach these lowly people in this situation, and someone needs to go up to the president and tell him the truth as well. Right? Someone's going to be in those positions to speak truth to those people. If it's not you, it's someone else. Pray for them. I don't know. But the point of this is that someone has to talk to those in charge, those in government, those high ups in the companies, those who make the decisions. They need to know about Jesus Christ. And I believe this would have done the job. If that leper had gone to those priests and said, check it out, this guy Jesus did this. I think that would have been the thing that maybe had done that. That's a Jamieism. That's not a Bible thing. That's a Jamie thing. You take it as a grain of salt, okay? Mark 1:45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. The man shouted out the news. I get it, okay? I get it. You've lived a life of leprosy. You've lived a life of disease. You've been pushed out. You've been ostracized. You've been oppressed. You've been told you're not allowed to be near people. To announce your coming, you have to shout a certain phrase. You are the lowest of the low, and suddenly you are not. I get it. I get the temptation to just be like, woo, check out what happened. This guy did it. I get the reaction. I don't blame him at all, because if this was me, I would have done the same thing. And this is the tough part, because it just tells you where we are. If you're on death's door, if you knew that you were just waiting to die, if you had a death sentence and you're living out one day at a time, just waiting and waiting on your own, and someone gave you a new life, another chance at life, of course you're going to be excited about that. Of course you're going to want to tell everyone about that. I'm going to run and see my family. I'd run and see my friends. I'm like, hey guys, we can hang out again. I'm not weird anymore. It's cool. You know, there's a difference. There's something to respond to. I don't blame him at all. But our testimony should be just as this, not being able to keep our mouths shut over the incredible things that Jesus has done. We should be shouting about the incredible things that Jesus has done. But we can read context. The reason why Jesus didn't want him to do that is because he wanted freedom to roam around the cities and teach and reach more people. Because it says he was drove out to the desert places and people still came from all quarters. There's a reason why he was saying, just hold on for one second. I just need to do some more teaching before. Too late. Right? And the reason was Jesus could no longer enter the city easily. Jesus didn't want the fame or the crowds to stop him in his ministry, right? He didn't want that. But with this news, I've been healed by this guy. Come check him out. Floods of people came in. And we know, we can read in all the other times that Jesus is healing and he's teaching people and he's being pressed up against and he's being forced onto a boat so that he can have a little space to be able to teach without being squashed. There are things here happening. There's an incredible movement happening of people saying, he's got something. I want that in my life. I need to go to him now. And people are saying, here he is. Come and get him. Think about that. Think about how exhausting that would be. And they came to him from every quarter. So we see the implications of this man not being able to obey this command. In Matthew 14:15 and 15:33, basically says there's a crowd of people that are following Jesus so much they can only be fed by a miracle. The sheer amount of people that are following him because of this implication, because of the reaction here, there's so many of them, they can only be fed by a miracle. In Matthew 8, we see that Jesus has no place to lay his head. It is constant. He has to keep moving. He finds rest where he can, in a ship in the middle of a storm, you know, up in a quiet place. It's exhausting. Reading about Jesus' life makes me tired. You know, he was active. So even though Jesus heals the man and makes him ceremonially clean, still the sinful nature of man and the free will that we have takes over. And he just has to tell all near about it. Again, I don't blame him, because it's such good news. I have new life. Everyone should know about it. But if the guy who's just healed you is asking to not, maybe think about it. I don't know. You know? So in this time, Jesus can't enter a town, stay at a friend's house, or go to a synagogue. What we can see, though, is that Jesus doesn't have a problem going to the wilderness. He doesn't have a problem going out there in the quiet places to spend time with the Father. In Romans 1:16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The reason why I say this is because the gospel is for everyone, okay? By the grace of God, it is for everyone. But chronologically, if we're going to read it, the gospel message was first revealed to the Jewish people, okay? That's why I say when it comes back to those Jewish rulers or the priests or those teachers there, there's a reason why he wanted to reach them, okay? It's not just because he wanted to get the higher-ups, but because it says the gospel is to the Jew first, then the Greek. There's a reason the Jews are God's chosen people. We can read that in Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So this reason for Jesus asking the man with leprosy to not speak to others suddenly has more depth. It wasn't about keeping a mouth shut. It was, in fact, trying to keep a door open so that he could get through to the leaders, to the Jewish people first. And then he was suddenly crowded out and he couldn't do it. So what can we take away from this? Okay. Right. So disease. Disease is a constant reminder of just how many things have changed since God pronounced a curse on the earth, this sin into the earth. It was beginning. In the beginning, it was good. It was good. But with the entry of sin, disease is just a reminder of how far we have fallen. A constant reminder of every day you wake up and you think, this wasn't meant to be this way. Sin wasn't meant to be in this world. This world was meant to be good. Disease is the evidence that sin is still active in this world. Death is the evidence of that as well. You know? So, I've got a couple of questions for you here. Just like the leper, what do you need Jesus to heal, to cleanse in your life, in your heart? What are you needing from him? Are you the leper? Are you someone who doesn't think there's anything wrong? I kind of want to get you to assess yourself again. But are you wounded on the floor? Are you face down? Are you crying out desperate? Needing to be healed? Us as sinful humans should take this stance, to take this posture of face to the floor on our knees in front of Jesus Christ. Begging for healing, begging for salvation. And Christ is just so gracious to us that instead of us leaving us on our knees, he lifts us up and he lets us stand and says, "You are cleansed by my blood. You have new life. You don't need to stay down here. You can be up here." And it's with that grace and that love and that mercy and that forgiveness that Jesus gives us new life in him. And I can choose. I can choose to go backwards. I can choose to fall back into my sin, to fall back into the way that I'm living, to fall back into the way that I want to do this instead. I don't want to listen to you right now. But the truth is, Jesus has still given me a new life. He still came through on his promise. I am thankful that Jesus doesn't leave me on my knees, even though that's where I should be. That's where I deserve to be, begging and wanting him to help me. But we know that Jesus is the great physician. We know that he can heal. We know that he can do all things. We know that he loves. And with that, we can have hope. So our hope, the hope we have, should be in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Who does not just heal us of our sickness, he cleanses us completely. Jesus broke through legalism by healing a leper. And Jesus has done the same with me and you. He's healed us. When we were untouchable, when I had done all those sins and I couldn't see myself being saved in any way, I've done too much, Jesus. Don't come near me. Yeah, I don't deserve it. I'm just a horrible person. Jesus still accepted. When we were separated, Jesus brought us together. When we were hurting, Jesus comforted us. And when we were desperate, Jesus was there. But most importantly, when we were sinners, while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And I think that's the point here. The hope we have is in Jesus Christ, okay? In his healing. If you don't know about that hope, talk to us. Talk to one of us. Talk to someone here. We'll grab a Bible. We will show you what it means to be able to call heaven your home, Jesus your Savior, and to have a new hope in life. But I really feel like every person in this room, we've all got something, okay? We've all got something. Maybe it's not leprosy. Maybe it's not a hand falling off from something rotten or anything like that. Maybe it's the smallest little blemish. Maybe it's just the small little blemish. And you kind of hide it and you're like, no one can see that. That's fine. Ask for healing. Ask for Jesus to take that sin away. Ask for Jesus to cleanse you. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to come to him and say, help me. Heal me. Cleanse me. In a minute, we're going to just have some time to kind of reflect. But I just want to ask you, where are you right now with that? With your disease and your hurting and your healing? What hurt are you carrying around with you? Is there a shame as well as you have to walk around saying unclean, unclean? Or are you living in the fact that Jesus has cleansed you head to toe with the blood of the Lamb? Because there's a freedom that comes in that as well. I'm thankful I don't have to walk into the sanctuary up to here to preach with you guys shouting unclean, 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 knowing that I am a sinner, but I have been set free through Jesus Christ. That's the difference here. I know that. I believe that. I put my faith in that. How about you guys? Where are you in this? Are you believing it? Is it changing your life? Is it changing the way that you're living? Or do you need to start accepting it so you can live differently? What's holding you back here? We have all been untouchable. We've all been there. We've all been unsavable until Jesus went to the cross. By the grace of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, we are able to be cleansed. My prayer for you now is, in this time whilst the music will be playing in a second, my prayer will be that you ask Jesus to cleanse you and to be able to accept that gift as well. Jesus loves you so much that he left his kingdom in heaven to come to earth, to die a criminal's death on the cross for our sins, to be buried in a tomb that was not meant for him, to rise again, conquering sin, Satan, and death. Do not live your life as untouchable, because Jesus has made it so that we are clean. Jesus has made it so that we can be part of his family. That's my prayer for you today, and thanks for your time.
Of that, but you don't need to clap for preachers, amen. thank you, Pastor Jamie. That was a blessing. Sister Pat comes. I'll invite you, if you will. We're not going to ask you to raise your hands or come forward or do anything like that, but I would like just as Sister Pat plays on the piano, if you want to just bow your head for a moment and just take a minute of quietness here at the end of the service, just to do some business with God. There are many, many things that I appreciate about Jesus, but very high on that list is Jesus' willingness to put his hands on the unclean. That his willingness to save is not just a mental thing. It's not just a philosophical thing. That Jesus' willingness to save is a practical thing. Many of you like me, we know what that cleansing's like. We know what that feels like. And the good news is, we have a different command from Jesus, which is just go and tell everybody. If the Lord speak to your heart about that, listen, if you've got a story to tell about Jesus' cleansing, you should tell somebody. That's an encouraging story to hear. It's the best story to tell. But we all know that we're carrying around that sin, and Pastor Jamie touched on this. I'd just like to underline it too, if I could. Listen, my friends, sin, it spreads. It spreads. And it numbs, and it kills. If there's something that the Lord would speak to your heart about doing some business with him, would you take this time this morning to do that? Jesus is still cleansing lepers. He is still wiping out sin. He's still making the unclean clean. Listen, whatever it is the Lord wants to do in your heart, we're going to sing in just a moment, but take these couple moments of quietness, if you would, to do some business with the Lord. I want to repeat Pastor Jamie's invitation. If you don't know that heaven's your home, if you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, grab one of us pastors, if you would, or somebody here at the church, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Whatever it is that God's talking to you about, would you take these next few moments and do that business with him, take this time with him, and then we'll sing and be dismissed, but first, just you and just the Lord.